And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, stretching all over North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. By the way, Boomer, I look out the window here in the studio. Man, it's already getting dark.
I know. I was just looking at that. Oh, no.
I'm looking. So daylight savings time was the subject of my monologue today, and I got a text from Raven from Russellville on the text line. He says, with regards to daylight savings time, an old Indian chief once said, only the government would try to convince you that if you cut a foot off the top of a blanket and sewed it to the bottom of the blanket, you'd have a longer blanket. I agree with that. All right, listen, enough of that. Let me jump over to the phone. So a longtime friend of mine, John Rogers, has been involved in state-level politics here in Alabama for a number of years and then went to work in Washington, D.C. with Signal. That's spelled C-Y-G-N-A-L, Signal Polling and Analytics. They are nationally renowned, started here in Alabama, but they are nationally renowned for their accuracy in polling. John Rogers is a pollster and strategist with them. I called him and said, hey, man, can you be on Monday and give us the skinny on what we should be looking for trends as the results are coming in to tell us how the night's going to go? So without further ado, let me bring on my friend John Rogers. John, how you doing, man?
Phil, I'm doing great. Great to be with you on the night before Election Day. It's almost like Christmas Eve for people who are really interested in politics.
Isn't that sad? Is that sad that we look at it as like almost like the night before Christmas Eve? I don't know. Or night before Christmas. But I agree. I mean, if your head's in the game on a regular basis like you and I are, then this is a big night.
Yeah, well, and it's also, I mean, it's an election. Every election matters for sure. But, I mean, with inflation, the highest it's been since 1982, the Dobbs decision that came down over the summer, like, you know, there are some really important issues that are on the ballot. And, you know, the Democrats control, they've had control of the executive branch and also the legislative branch. And I think that that's going to change tomorrow and hopefully be able to kind of right the ship of state in the U.S.
Well, I agree. And I've been saying for a while, I think we're going to take the House and the Senate. Let me ask you, John, you guys at Signal, I mean, you're the big time now. You poll all over the nation and then you review the analytics in full. So on the macro scale, tomorrow night, as we're watching, knowing that results in some states take longer than others, time zones are different, whatever, if we start seeing certain things in certain places, what should we be looking for to tell us we are going to have a good red night or not a good red night?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, you know, if you're a listener there in Alabama and across the Southeast, I would focus on Florida and Georgia. Florida is pretty good about getting their votes counted pretty quickly. And so there I would focus on, in Florida, I would focus on the governor's race and then obviously the Senate race with Marco Rubio as well. And, you know, DeSantis is going to win by a healthy margin over Charlie Crist, the former governor, actually. And right now, DeSantis probably has, if you look at the average Real Clear Politics of the public polls that are out there, DeSantis looks like he's up by about 12 points, right? So if those results start to come in Florida and DeSantis is even above that, if he's outpacing that 12-point margin over Crist, then it's going to look like a good night. And then in Georgia, one thing I would pay attention to especially is how Herschel Walker does vis-a-vis Brian Kemp. And so Kemp, you know, we project him to win. We think he'll win without a runoff. It's going to be a little bit dicier for Herschel Walker. And so the real question from a political standpoint, the real question is how are suburban voters, especially in the perimeter around Atlanta, you know, are those voters who are independents who are planning to vote for Kemp, are they also going to vote for Herschel in the race for U.S. Senate? So if Herschel is staying within 3 or 4 points of Kemp and or if Kemp is, you know, at 51, 52, 53 and above, then it looks like it could be a pretty good night, I think, for Republicans.
Wow. Okay. That's all right. So right here in the Southeast, on the Eastern time zone, you're saying that our neighbors, Florida and Georgia, are trendsetters. Those are bellwether states for the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, like, if you look at, you know, Larry Sabato, professor at the University of Virginia, has been, you know, analyzing politics for a long time. And so they just released their latest version, University of Virginia Center for Politics. They released their latest projection, their final projection for what the Senate map will look like. And they have Georgia as leans Republican, right? And so they're projecting Republicans to wind up at 51, Democrats to wind up at 49, And they think that Georgia will win that, but it's going to be really, really close. And so, yeah, Georgia is definitely a bellwether state for, you know, how the rest of the country, you know, may play out. Another state I would look at, this is going to be obviously later because they're all the way across the country in a totally different time zone, but Nevada will be really instructive. I think that I think the Republicans will win both the governor's race and the Senate race in Nevada. But, you know, we'll see. But Georgia, Nevada, and then Pennsylvania and Arizona.
Now, some of those states, every state's different. I mean, people don't realize sometimes that every state law can be different for the manner in which they tally their votes. And so some states, they start doing early voting or absentee voting, and they allow those to be opened up and pre-tallied. Others wait until after all votes are in before they even open those envelopes. Any of those bellwether states, are they slow counters or are they fast counters?
So that's one thing with Florida. They get their votes in pretty quickly. And so if you go back to 2020, 90% of votes in Florida had been counted by 9 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, wow.
And that's because in Florida, they're very accustomed to early and mail voting. That's something where they have a lot of experience with it. In 2020, 83% of votes that were cast in Florida were from early or absentee ballots. And so, and most counties report those votes first. And then in Georgia, you know, it's a little bit different because the rule for Republican-leaning counties, they tend to count a little bit faster than some of the metro counties. But generally, Georgia is a pretty fast state, too, for counting their votes. In 2020, approximately 95% of the votes have been cast or have been counted by noon, the day after the general election. Of course, that's still the day after the general election. So Florida is really kind of the bellwether state that I would focus on, and then Georgia as well. But there's going to be some states that, you know, we're just probably not going to know for a couple of days after election day as to who won some of these races.
Which is maddening, because everybody knows. I mean, it's maddening to think we got to wait for days, sometimes even a week, just to get results. When here in Alabama, we're like blazing through it and putting the results out. And Florida's out the night of, and you're like, come on, people, get your act together. All that to say, what races are you seeing right now that are linchpin races, but yet they're still too close to call? Which ones are you seeing right now that are kind of like that on the big picture level?
I think the one that immediately comes to mind is the Senate race in Arizona. And so that's where Blake Masters is running. He's a Republican nominee. He's running against the Democratic incumbent in Mark Kelly. And, you know, Kelly, by the standards of the modern Democratic Party, Kelly is somewhat moderate. And so that's, and Masters did not have a lot of money coming out of the primary, and so it took him a little bit to kind of find his footing. So that is just a really, really, really tight race. Carrie Lake, who is the Republican nominee for governor, I think she'll wind up winning against Katie Hobbs. But that Senate race is just on a knife's edge and will probably be very, very, very close, I would imagine. That's going to be one of those seats that will determine whether, I do think that we'll wind up with the majority, but that's going to determine whether Republicans are at 51 or if you're looking at 52, 53, 54. One thing, too, that I want to note, which is interesting, Phil, is that there's already a lot of consternation from analysts on the Democratic side looking ahead, which is crazy to think about, but looking ahead to 2024. Because 2024 is a map, a Senate map and a congressional map, that really favors Republicans far more than this one does.
Wow.
And so if Republicans come out of, you know, this election cycle with the majority, there could be a really good opportunity in 2024, depending how things go, to have as strong a Republican majority in Congress as we may have seen in, you know, in 5 or 6 election cycles.
Wow. And then, when you say 5 or 6 election cycles, that's 20 years or more we're talking about. That's okay. Well, listen, that's huge. Let me ask you this before we leave those types of races. If you said it again a moment ago, I apologize. I didn't catch it. But in Georgia, with Herschel Walker's race, we still have an independent or libertarian candidate in there. We're looking at a possible runoff in that race too, aren't we?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's different actually from Arizona, because in Arizona there was a Libertarian Party candidate on the ballot.
Right.
And then he dropped out and endorsed Blake Masters, but in, you know, with no such luck in Georgia. So Walker is a Republican nominee, Warnock's the Democratic incumbent, and then there's a guy named Chase Oliver, who's the Libertarian Party nominee. And we've been polling Georgia extensively, and we were, the Libertarian candidate is definitely, getting between 2 and 4% of the vote, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it's probably going to be enough that it will pull both Walker and Warnock below 50%, and then Georgia will go to a runoff, which will be decided 6 weeks after November 8th. So it'll be in December is when that Senate runoff would be.
Wow. That's just like more pain, but okay. Now let me ask you this, John, and this may be subjective. It may wind up just being your opinion. I don't know if y'all have done anything on this or not at Signal, but after Clinton took a shellacking in the midterms, he sort of pivoted. He began to recognize he had to work with Republicans. Obama did that to some degree also. Is there any sense right now that the Biden administration has the ability or the desire to pivot, recognizing that tomorrow is probably going to be a day when they lose the majority, perhaps in both the House and the Senate? Do you think they're going to pivot?
That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I do think that they will moderate a little bit. And Biden is not, he's not a moderate, but he's also not, he's not a socialist like AOC basically is, right? So I do think that they'll be forced to moderate a little bit. But President Biden's image is just, he's deeply unpopular, right? That's why Biden is hanging out in D.C. and not hitting the trail. For these candidates for the Democratic nominees in swing states. In Nevada, right? We did a poll recently in Nevada, and Biden's image is at negative 14. So 56%. 56% of voters disapprove of President Biden, right? And so, with third party and independent voters, 63% of those voters in Nevada disapprove of Biden, right? So I think that the real kind of question, which could be interesting to see, is whether or not there's a really strong push by some people in the Democratic Party to say, hey, Biden can't be the nominee in 2024. We need to encourage him to kind of step down and look for another nominee.
Well, I can't imagine him running just on his age and seemingly his health issues. But then again, what have they got left? Kamala Harris after that. So I think they're going to have to change. They're going to have to wipe the slate clean and find a new slate of candidates, period. But, wow. All right, man. Well, it's going to be a long night for you guys, I'm sure, gathering up. You got clients all over the nation. And when you're back here in Alabama, holler at me, all right?
Phil, thank you so much, and great to be with you as always.
All right. John Rogers, pollster and strategist for Signal Polling up in D.C., polling all over the nation, got his start right here in Alabama politics and now looking at things on the macro scale. Glad to know we have friends in high places. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, man. We'll do that right now. Folks, we'll come right back with the results of our texting poll. What races are you guys personally watching? Like the ones outside of our borders, what are you like? Oh, God, I got to know what happens with that race. Well, I got the results. Boomer tallied them. I'll call them out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, the text line has been going bananas today. Boomer and I can't keep up. Sometimes he responds, sometimes I respond. What'd you say, bud?
Yeah, I just saying, wow, it's been crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'll look over there during an interview with John Rogers or whatever, and I'm like, there's 15 more. Appreciate Glenn from Haleyville joining today. Says he loves the show. He said, I just thought Newsmax was good. Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate you. Randall from Newmarket says, just look at your 401k and then go vote. That'll tell you what to do. No doubt. JT from Lacey Springs said, not voting is a vote. It's a vote for wokeness, high interest in fuel and gender issues and so forth. Yes. Paul from Athens says, go vote so you can cancel out a vote for a politician you don't like. True. Where's the one I had? Somebody told me, now I can't find it, said that they are wearing their Right Side Ruffian T-shirt tomorrow to vote. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. If I could find the text again, I'd read out who it was. And then I got to tell you, so this will go right into, I'll just do a brief ad, then I'm going to do our polling stuff. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. I swear I am. Boomer's spent so much time tallying this, I got to get to it because I'm pretty sure I'll hear about it if I don't. But Just Love Coffee Cafe. So earlier I was talking about all the excuses people use to not go vote. Brian from Huntsville just texted in and says, no time to vote? We'll just call ahead and get your order from Just Love Coffee before you go. That's what I'm saying, Brian. That's perfect. Yeah, we have two locations of Just Love Coffee Cafe in our area. Hughes Road in Madison, out towards City Hall, and South Parkway in Huntsville. Now, and Brian's right, the food there is so good. I mean, like, no fooling good. And it's not just coffee. Do they have great coffee? Yes, they do. Charlene calls the specialties like the treat coffee, she calls them, like the cappuccinos, the lattes, the espressos. They got award-winning dry roast. They can grind the beans fresh, light roast, medium roast, dark roast, good stuff. But then the menu, man, salads, sandwiches, wraps, waffles, omelets. I'm just saying, all day long. The food is great. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. Check them out. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Okay, here's our poll. So the overwhelming number of people that called in or texted in to our question, what race outside of our state are you most interested in seeing the results of? Well, overwhelmingly, people are focused on Senate, although there was another batch of them that were focused on governor's races. So, governor's races first. This one got fewer responses. I mean, we had like, I think we were somewhere like 100, and we were like 160 or 70 responses total to this thing. That's pretty crazy. That's about, by the way, that's like a 70-something. That's a high turnout for the texting, although it added up today. 10 people are looking to see what the New York governor's race has. They want to see whether Lee Zeldin is going to beat Kathy Hochul. 7 are watching Arizona, Kerry Lake. That's one of the races that I'm most interested in. On the governor's side, I am most interested in those two, New York and Arizona. I really want to see what happens there. Georgia, 2 people say they're watching the Georgia race. I feel like Brian Kemp's already got that one. I feel comfortable with it. And then I'm not even tracking these hardly myself. We had a few people that are watching Michigan and New Hampshire. I'm curious, but you know what? That Michigan race is important to me. I have family living in Michigan right now, and I do want to see Gretchen Whitmer knocked out. I would love to see Gretchen Whitmer knocked out. She was like just the Wicked Witch of the West during the pandemic. But then the Senate races that got so much attention, over 50 people. 50 people say Pennsylvania, but 51 people are watching Georgia. So, yeah, 50 people in our texting strings are saying, I'm all in on what happens with Fetterman and Oz. But 51, that's the winner, are watching to see what happens with, you know, our guy Herschel Walker versus Raphael Warnock. 21 people are watching that Arizona race. 6 are watching Washington State. Interesting. There's that guy, I forgot his name off the top of my head. I'll think of it in a second. Green Beret, who is running for office out there in Washington State. Nevada, 7. And then we had sort of a compilation of people watching other races. We had 15 people saying they're watching all of the Senate races. They ain't playing. I'm watching all of them. I'm just watching all of them. To me, it's Pennsylvania and Georgia are the two I'm most keen on for Senate. And to me, it's New York and Arizona for governors. I mean, I'm going to be happy as a clam I see some of those. Main thing I want to see the ability to block Biden for the next 2 years is what I want to see. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.